When I was in elementary school, around the fourth or fifth grade, it was really important that each of us have our cootie shots. Now, I know that might seem a little childish, but if you didn't have your cootie shots, then you were avoided like the plague. And those who know what the cootie shots were, it was as simple as circle, circle, dot, dot, now you have your cootie shot. Now, how did this story make its way into the sermon, you might ask, and I'm asking myself that same question right now at times. But cooties reminds me of what's going on in our current predicament in society. If you had the cooties in elementary school, you were avoided like the plague. If you came in contact with someone who had the cooties, you were seen as unclean. Fast forward to our current predicament here in 2020. We find ourselves in a struggle to try to socially distance ourselves from one another so that we don't come into contact with people who might have COVID-19. It's a difficult thing that we're going through. And no, there's not a cootie shot to get us through that just yet. But we pray and hope that we can get to that level. If we fast forward to 2 weeks ago, I want to share that I wasn't feeling so well. I didn't have a fever, but I was feeling fatigued and achy. I felt that I should still go to work, however. I had 2 days' worth of meetings at the conference office that I just had to be a part of in my mind. And so I was really nervous, though, when those meetings concluded and I didn't feel better. I was nervous that I might have the coronavirus. I was really scared and potentially starting to scare myself into fear and worry and panic as I started to research the coronavirus and what it means and what it happens and how it affects you. And I did all this research and eventually decided I needed to go to the doctor. Now, in the meantime, I was panicked. What if I have it? What if I gave it to someone else? All because I felt like I had to be at work. It was a moment of fear and chaos in my mind, and my anxiety got the worst of me, and my mind started asking all these questions. What if I spread it? Who did I infect with it? Do I have it? Is my name going to be read on Governor Beshear's update at 5 o'clock? I was nervous until I went to the doctor and found out that it was not the coronavirus, that I did have a virus. I needed to avoid people for a few days. And so I experienced that moment of anxiety and panic in the midst of all of that. I can only imagine what people are going through that have the coronavirus. It makes me think of our scripture focus today from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. That's going to be in the comments section if you want to follow along, or you can open up your Bibles and read along from home as Jesus deals with someone who's seen as unclean. A leper came to him, begging him, kneeling. He said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I do choose. Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This brief healing story gives us a lot to unpack. First, I want us to think about the leper. Now, there are many different opinions as to what the extent of this leprosy consisted of. Some relate this type of leper to what is modern-day leprosy known as Hansen's disease, which comes on slowly and is incurable. However, there are others who think that this leprosy relates to what was found in Leviticus 13 that still came on to people, and people still got leprosy, but it was curable at times and it might go away. Regardless of the extent of what this specific leper had, we know that the law made it to where they had to announce themselves and their leprosy. Let's look at Leviticus 13, 45 through 46. It says, "The person who has leprous disease shall wear torn clothes, let their hair be disheveled, cover their upper lip, announce to people, 'Unclean, unclean,' and live outside of society." I want to repeat that. If you had the disease of leprosy, you had to announce it to everyone. You had to show that you had it. And you had to live away from everyone, alone and isolated. Think about the people that have the coronavirus. They're told to stay at home, stay away from people, tell people you have it, let others know that you have it, quarantine yourself. Can you imagine what they're going through? To feel stigmatized, to feel isolated, to feel alone. Can you imagine what a lot of people are feeling right now who don't have the virus, though, and are also feeling alone and stigmatized? Perhaps that's why Jesus might have got angry in our focus passage. If we look at verse 41, it states that Jesus was moved with pity, and he stretches out his hand and touched the leper. Now, there are some early manuscripts and some early translations that state Jesus was moved with anger. Maybe that's a better translation, that Jesus was angry with the way the leper had been treated. Maybe Jesus was frustrated with the way that people had stigmatized the leper. Maybe he was frustrated that people valued others over this leper. Now, the text doesn't necessarily say, but I believe that gives us a chance to pause and ask ourselves, how would Jesus respond to us in our current predicament? If he saw the way that we isolate and treat vulnerable people, how would Jesus respond? If he saw how we stigmatize people, or the decisions that people make that are even beyond their control, and we still stigmatize and isolate vulnerable people. If Jesus saw how we talked about those who are most prone to this virus, the coronavirus. I can't tell you how many times people said, "Scott, don't worry about it. It won't affect you because you're young." But the reality is, it affects us all. If one person has it, we all have it. We are part of the body of Christ. If one member of the body of Christ is affected, we're all affected. Now, whether Jesus would have been moved with pity for people, or he would have been angry with the people, I believe his response to us is the same as to the leper. "I do choose. Be made clean." I believe that's the whole point of this story. The leper saying, "Jesus, if you choose to, you can make me clean." And Jesus says, "I do. Be made clean." He touches the unclean leper. He risks stigma. He risks his reputation. He risks his own isolation. He risks judgment from others. Jesus did all this so that a vulnerable person would feel accepted. They would feel worthy. So how are we making sacrifices so that others are made well? How are we risking so that others are made well? Maybe that means staying at home. For many of us, that's what it means. Maybe it means donating to those who are in need. Maybe it means buying that loaf of bread for someone else in your community that needs it more than you do. Who are the people that we avoid because it's too risky for our social status? Who are the people that we fail to connect with because it might question our reputation? When I was in high school, there was a special needs student that we'll call Bert for the sake of the story. And Bert enjoyed interacting with everyone, and he was very engaging. And he would sometimes have these stories that were a little exaggerated, if you will. But he was always loved telling stories to people. Well, one day he had a crowd of people that were listening to him, and one of my friends was demeaning Bert, but Bert didn't know it. Everyone in the group knew it, and people thought it was funny, until another one of my friends stepped up and said something. He stuck his neck out. He risked social suicide in high school to take up for someone, even though the whole group turned on him because they didn't like what he was saying. But he was risking his reputation. He was risking it because he knew that it was right to stand up for someone who was vulnerable. It's similar to maybe our reluctance to touch AIDS patients. Even though it's clear that that disease cannot be transmitted by touch, maybe it's even similar to how cancer patients are treated when people refuse to hold their hands or touch cancer patients. Our instinct is to keep distance because of this fear that runs deep inside of us of the unknown. To maybe we might be unclean. And unfortunately, right now, that fear is justified and we have to keep our social distancing. You know, when I coughed a few times, when I told people I weren't feeling well, I had people that would back up and say, "You don't have corona, do you?" Fear has this way of causing us to distance ourselves from one another. And this is a time when we should. But we should draw closer to one another in new and unique ways. We should draw closer to one another during this time of difficulty. This season invites us to be reminded of the finer things in life. It reminds us to not take life for granted. And so I want to share this poem with you from author and writer Laura Kelly Fenichi. She says this: "When this is over, may we never again take for granted a handshake with a stranger, full shelves at the store, conversations with neighbors, a crowded theater, Friday night out, the taste of communion, a routine checkup, the school rush each morning, coffee with a friend, the stadium roaring each deep breath, a boring Tuesday, life itself. When this ends, may we find that we have become more like the people we wanted to be, the people we were called to be, we hoped to be, and may we stay that way for better because of the worst." That's our challenge, right? Is that we may be made better because of the worst. That we may be a better church, a better society, a better people, better Christians, a better body of Christ because of this difficult time. Our challenge is that we should all assume that we have the coronavirus. For medical reasons, it can be helpful, but also for our faith reasons, for religious reasons. If we all assume we have it, we realize we're in this together. We don't judge or cast aside people. We should assume that we have it, but we should also assume that we have other illnesses and diseases that people struggle with. Cancer, addiction, mental health struggles, greed. Because if one person has it, if one member of the body has it, we all have it. Here's the catch. Jesus looks at each of us as well as he did the leper. And he says, "I do choose to be made clean." Now, I'm glad at the age of 31, I don't have the cooties. But being stuck at home sort of feels like it at times. It sort of feels isolating and lonely. And the season of our lives can spark a lot of feelings and emotions. Life is hard enough prior to COVID-19. We already need healing. We need healing from our greed, our addictions, our pain, our depression, our various illnesses that we struggle with. What do you need healing from? What is it in your life that you need healing from? Where are you reaching out to Jesus for healing? And the body of Christ. You are worth healing. Jesus stretches out his hand and touches the leper. He says, "I do choose, be made clean." Jesus reaches out to each of us and chooses us. Jesus chooses you. He chooses you to be made clean. He chooses you so that you know you are worthy. You are worthy of love. You are worthy of care. You are worthy of healing. Would you pray with me? God of love and grace, help us to realize we are worthy. And help us to respond to that worthiness. That we may live as people devoted to love and service in your name. Amen.